Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
Oh, so sweet. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Double Take. You made a great choice for a lifelong companion.
Yes.
I love Terry. She's brilliant, and she takes your guff and gives it back to you. I just like it very much. I've had a couple of chances, and I think that they were pretty good along the way.
Yeah.
There may have been a moment when I thought maybe the day would come when I could actually have one that fits all of my requirements. And what do you know? We have a movie like that. This is called Companion.
I so wondered where you were going with this, and Terry will be entertained.
But listen, Gary, even the marketing tells you that she is a robot. It would have been nice if you could have lasted a little bit longer not knowing it in the movie, because they shoot that out within 10 minutes. But what I'm trying to say is it's almost impossible to talk about this movie without saying that the companion of the title is a lovely young woman who happens to be the companion of a dorky guy.
And I didn't see the promotions. I didn't see anything.
Oh, you didn't? So you didn't know?
I knew there was a robot in there somewhere.
Ah.
But when I saw her walking through the grocery store in the beginning, she seemed kind of robotic. I didn't really latch on it right then. There's more to be revealed. And how do we not give the story away? In any event, there's more to be revealed. But she seemed a little off, and I thought, I don't know, maybe.
Which is a tribute to Sophie Thatcher, who is the lead here, and she was also in Heretic. And she is a lovely young woman with real talent.
Yeah.
Because if she can give you that hint, and I agree with you, the nice thing about knowing ahead of time that she's a robot is to watch the very little clues, the subtle clues in the first 15 or 20 minutes that if you're sharp enough, you can pick up. Guys like me, if I didn't know ahead of time, wouldn't have known until the reveal.
I didn't pick it up until there's a shot from above. Remember Busby Berkeley or whatever, or the Jackie Gleason, where they would do the shots overhead? There's an overhead shot of her in bed. And it's like,
Okay, yeah.
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 This is she.
Yeah. Our lead, Josh,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the Quaid boys. And he has been in a couple of movies, and I think he's a perfect embodiment of the clueless male.
He's clueless, and he thinks he's so smart.
Oh, he does, and that's what makes him so darn clueless. So eventually we find out that she is a robot, and that's, you know, there are words like, that's how she's made, and there are other clues to leave you there, but it's not long into the movie when you do know
that
she is.
Well, you're preparing our listeners to be watching for these things.
Well,
they
exactly.
all feel really smart that they pick it up.
Believe me, Gary, I had struggled with myself as to how the heck we were going to do it, but I didn't think we'd have anything going unless people knew what this thing was about. We won't even talk about current political leaders who are robotic. We stay away from politics in this.
We do. And that this movie is, I'm so anxious to say it, I'll say
please.
It now. It is so smart. It is so clever, so well thought, well written, well acted. Just, it gives nothing, even now, we're not giving anything away that matters.
Yeah. The three of us went, you and I and Wayne, and we were really surprised at how good this was and how it kept our attention.
Yes.
And this is Drew Hancock is the director and the writer. I have to give him so much credit because there are multiple other AI robot movies out there, and some of them are really very good, starting way back with Metropolis. So I think he's done a great job in providing entertainment at the same time provoking thought.
And it's a classic sci-fi film.
Yes. In what way are you thinking?
I'm thinking that it has the elements of it, and the reason it's classic in my view is it's not so obvious. It's not Swiss Family or Space Family Robinson, Danger,
right?
Or, Danger Will,
or even whatever, Star Wars,
or or any of that. It's just it's subtle. It's in a very human environment with very human emotions. being played out by people. I'm doing air quotes. You can see me on TV, maybe. But with people, in fact, everybody in the movie is clueless for a certain part of it, the robots and the human beings.
Yeah, yeah. Except for Sergei.
Well, Sergei.
Sergei. I mean, Sergei stands out. The rest of these people are clueless, but I don't think he is. And we find out things about Sergei even when he leaves the screen.
Yes, we do. And Sergei knows exactly what's going on, except that he doesn't, which is kind of a metaphor for the robots, too.
That's Rupert Friend who plays that. He doesn't appear in the whole film. I guess I just want to point out how impressive I think he is. Yeah. The rest of them...
He's so smarmy.
And yet you can't help but suspect that he's coming from another direction, and he is great. However, we do have people going in different directions in this film.
Yeah.
We even have a gay contingent.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is a very modern horror film. But I'll tell you, Gary, you make me think. The tropes start right away, because anybody who knows when something is set in a remote cabin type, and this is an estate, this is not where you should be going. This is not the vacation you should be taking.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
It really is. It's a setup. So right away you go, but we know this is a horror thriller.
Yeah.
I mean, we know, everybody knows going into it. This is not a really traditional horror film in that there's so much of it that's not bloody.
Yeah.
No, there's going to be some blood. It has to. Come on. There are people going there that are going to pay dollars to see some typical horror tropes, and robots, you're going to get them.
Robots don't bleed, John.
But there are other people who might.
Might and do.
And this will fulfill your expectations. Now, Gary, the thing that really interests me, besides how attractive an actress this Sophie is and how she carries that whole film, it interests me, is there some kind of an overall theme besides the fact that she's a robot? Is there anything about living? Is there anything about human beings? Is there anything about men that this film touches on, which gives it some weight?
It's that the human beings around her are so clueless, really, and that she, when she becomes herself, is how I'll describe it, she's so smart, just like the movie is so smart.
Yes. The sad thing is a lot of this is programming, which is what we have feared about AI.
Aren't we all programmed?
And yet, what interests me is that men are programmed in a certain way when they're not robots. And one of those things is for men to be in control. Now, I opened up the program citing you and Terry, mm-hmm. and there's no way that you have control. I think it's equalized. And for my former wives, they were both strong. There was an equilibrium there. That's not always so with men. There's a traditional take on men that they really are interested in control.
Many, if not most, if not all, are interested in control, but don't achieve it, and that's part of the frustration of being a man in these modern times.
I mean, I think Josh, in our movie, the Quaid actor, Josh, seems to embrace the notion of control. And he evidently arranged this because they did not meet as traditionally.
Well, actually, Josh is really primal. He, when he's hungry, he eats.
Yeah, boy.
When he wants sex, he has sex. Yes. When he wants to manipulate people, he manipulates them with unintended consequences.
Yeah. And I think it fulfills a lot of notions that we have about AI and the fears that we currently have about it.
Yeah.
When you see how, as you say, how smart she is. Iris is her name, mm-hmm. and she sees the world in a way differently from the way the men do. But she, or let's say she catches on very quickly.
She catches on.
and I love the way that you're able to clue her in or not with a little movement of the finger on the device. Yeah.
Can control her intelligence, which they keep at 40%, I think, and her aggression, which they move to 100%.
Yeah. And that's the part that many of our horror film goers are going to love, is when they ramp up her ability to be violent. No, and not nice, and that's part of the film. So what else do we learn? And that's what I think this is, at least for me. This is an AI story that teaches me something about what it means to be human. It's through the device of an artificial intelligence, I learned something more about living. Does that happen to you at all when you think about it?
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I think she becomes more complete than any of the people were.
right?
To the extent that we understand the people, but there's no, well, she's not, you know, reciting E equals MC squared or whatever. She's just right. very savvy. She's socially savvy and intelligent.
Is this while she's a robot?
No, this is when she takes over, when she becomes herself.
Okay.
When she becomes. You can't say she's fully human because she's a robot. She's got all of her faculties mentally, and she's wily. She's got social skills so that she can send a signal to another robot at the end. You often have me review horror films, which I'm not interested in.
I
didn't want to go see Cocaine Bear, and I ended up loving it because it was a farce. And I wasn't resistant to this because you've made me open to the horror genre. I saw John Wick umpteenth, and so on. So in any event, it's a wonderful movie. It's so smart. It's a good movie for anybody that's interested in being impressed by a film.
I think an early teen might even be able to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They have all those violent games.
Well, Gary, as we've been talking about Companion, a new horror thriller out there that we've found to be enjoyable and for many members of the family and for even people who are horror genre freaks like Hope Madden and mm-hmm. George Wolfington. As we look at this as a movie, what I think we've talked in a meta way about where it seems to be going as it comments on human, and that's where we often go thematically.
Right.
When we really make something out of these films, when it's more than a slasher film. Yeah, it's much more than that, and that's what we can say, and you can enjoy it when you go see it. Now let's look a little bit at the history. I mentioned in Cinema Classics, Metropolis,
mm-hmm.
which is, have you ever seen it?
Yes.
To me, this is the progenitor of all horror films in a way, or AI films at least,
yeah.
in which that lovely robot symbolizes the changes that are coming mm-hmm. and societal changes. And this movie, Metropolis, is not reluctant to talk about the clash between the upper and the lower class.
Right.
And so I think it's a really good representative. Does that fit with you okay?
Yeah. I think that fits in there. Josh is in his own way struggling, and Sergey is at the top of the mountain as far as that goes with respect to the money.
Right.
And
that's
Josh,
right. There you go.
And Josh is just getting by with his monthly payments.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. You know, that's something we did explore in Cinema Classes, but there's a whole...
because it's for this.
Right? Because there's a whole wealth motif here.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got $12 million in
I think it was more, John.
Was it in some cabinet?
Yeah.
And nicely bundled up and ready to be taken away.
Mm-hmm, ready for a suitcase.
The reason for some of the very nefarious things that happened in that film is that money.
Greed.
Yeah, greed.
Yeah.
And the difference in the Metropolis. Can you think of another AI example?
Well, I wasn't comparing it to Ex Machina, but I thought of Ex Machina.
Oh, how could you not?
As I was watching it, as she was becoming, and in Ex Machina, the robot is all together and has all the things that, in this movie, her name is Iris.
Yeah.
All the things that Iris accomplished by the end of the movie, the robot had at the very beginning, but it's revealed in layers. It's as subtle as this was.
Yeah.
Until it's realized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and that came to mind, and then
Alicia Vikander plays a super. So in fact, she gets the attention of Oscar Isaac. I think he's there probably to study her.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot his character.
Yeah,
that's
right.
as a scientist
to study her to see if she seems.
I mean, that is one very sophisticated AI movie, and you're right. It has a lot of relevance to Companion because there is an attraction there,
mm-hmm.
and that even though we wanted to say this is just a robot, there are things that a robot can do to make you feel.
In this movie, the humans make the robot fall in love with them. In Ex Machina, the robot makes the human fall in love with her.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. There are other current ones. There's one called Wild Robot out there, which is, in fact, it may be even up for an Oscar nomination. It's a very, very pleasant robot film in which a robot is stranded on an island and works with the animals on that island to help a little goose. It's a metaphor for diversity.
Right.
And it gets together. It's really a good one.
and using IA to save the planet.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's not a sci-fi film. It's a, I think it's Ursula Andress and She.
Mm.
And I read the book She.
Boy, there's a good memory. Thank you.
She is, she's not a robot, but she's not a human either, because she's lived for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Oh,
yeah, thousands of years, actually. And is empowered by rays and so on, but she is absolutely in control. And that one came to mind as well as Iris was becoming fully empowered.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. One sentimental because it was my college days, called Forbidden Planet.
Oh, yes.
And Robbie the Robot.
Robbie
however,
the robot.
I would have to tell you that it was the actress Anne Francis that really interested me.
Of course.
At that
John.
Time. I was about 18. And wow, was she attractive. But the idea of the monster coming from the scientist's brain. Mm-hmm. Was a kind of a new one, and I thought, well, that's really good. And but the robot there is Robbie the robot.
Right.
Who is strong and smart, as I recollect.
Right.
And kind of the model for others.
Yeah, the Star Wars robots, R2-D2 and whatever, they're not in this.
No.
No, it's not. Well, in Ex Machina, in Ex Machina, she was more obviously a robot in that you could
see physically.
Her metal and so on.
Yes.
But Iris looks fully human. Although she walks like a robot.
Well, let me throw out another for you.
Okay.
Which I think is very endearing. And you mentioned that our Star Wars robots are not really in the tradition that we've had. Ours are much more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Ours do thinking, the feelings, and so on. And R2-D2,
they get the job done, but yeah.
There's one that I really like that's maybe not in the companion tradition, but it does assume a companion motif, Wally.
I remember that.
But this
name,
is the one where he's a little robot on our devastated planet, and he's cleaning up. He's cleaning up garbage of the planet, and he meets another robot, and he wants to go off with her. Anyway, it's the cutest. It's the cutest little thing.
What's the name of the movie?
Yeah. How about? Well, all right. Here's way out there. It's not way out there. It's just so different because of the person who plays it. Terminator.
Yeah, and I thought of that as later, not the first version, but when he comes back.
Okay.
So it would be Terminator 2.
All right.
Yeah, and he's trying to help the human.
But he is a robot, right?
Yeah.
All right. But however, you know, this
and they paid homage to that in the end of the movie with Iris, because they reveal something that was revealed in that Terminator, or maybe it was... No, it was that Terminator. It was that Terminator or the next one. Maybe it was Terminator 3.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, where it's revealed.
I guess my ancillary point here was Arnold Schwarzenegger was even becoming so big that it was difficult to separate him from Terminator, in my mind. That is, even though I knew he was robotic... He was still so much Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, your robot can have an Austrian accent.
Yeah, right.
Know, I apologize to all the Austrians out there.
Including my son-in-law, who I don't think listens to the show that much. So
no,
I don't think
have to listen to this one. He can critique me. In any event. No, Arnold is very robotic in his zeal, and Iris has a touch of that at points in this.
Yeah.
It's the vicious, it's inhuman... violence.
Isn't it interesting that in all of these, the robots are moving toward or becoming human in some way or another.
Yeah.
And way back into our poetry and our stories and early English literature and so on, these godlike creatures are always wanting to be us, even if they have to die in being so. I'm thinking of a Browning poem, Caliban upon Cerebus. And Caliban is desirous of becoming human. And many of these, if not all of them, understand what that means. But they want our emotion.
Right.
And the closer we get to the emotion, the closer they get to being human. And that's what's scary.
And Iris, addressed here.
Yeah.
By Iris and Patrick. Yeah, it's specifically addressed.
Ah, all right, very good.
It was in there.
Not Patrick and his gay romance.
He only had gay romances.
Right.
Iris felt something for Josh.
Right.
And Patrick felt something for his original lover.
Right.
And then he felt something for Josh that was false.
Ah, very good. Wow, this is complicated. Yes, I like it. I don't think we're revealing a whole hell of a lot here because
we've confused them. So now they're going to go just to find out what the heck's going on with that.
Well, Gary Hammond, good Lord, we've BS'd our way right through this baby. It fascinates both of us, and because we are still lovers of women, I believe the overall metaphor is the relationship between men and women.
Yeah.
I believe that both of us support the equality in any relationships. I think companion emphasizes the inequality, but the balancing out that will eventually come, if it hasn't already yet.
Yeah, I think that in order to, well, at least I think that my long and successful relationship is based on interdependence, not codependence, but interdependence.
Right, interdependence, yeah.
Not independence.
Yeah, very good. All right, the film is Companion. Gary, what do you suggest for our audience?
Go run to your local theater. It's really fun on the big screen. I suppose you can stream it and get much of it out of it, but it's really fun on the big screen.
Thank you, it is, and that's what movies were made for.
Yep.
And certainly when you have a theater where we are the only three in that theater, it's an even better experience.